Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, Courtney Cronin, live at Hallis. I don't know what day we're at anymore,
16.
Courtney.
Is this 16? I looked it up. So it's 16 practices. It would have been 17 had they not canceled practice on Sunday and made that a close walkthrough. But 16 practices, 4 weeks, that's quite a lot.
We've done quite a bit here in our time at Hallis. And the Bears have done quite a bit. And coming off of their first debut of Caleb Williams, we got to see something at practice. Today felt more like kind of we're taking it easy, first game back kind of day. Let's work through some things. So, you know, hopefully we'll see a little bit more with the joint practice. Got to talk with a few people at the podium that, you know, opened some eyes on some different perspectives. So got to break all that down. And we got to see a little bit of ramp up today. So excited about that. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Let's start it off with the ramp-up conversation because we got to see something we haven't seen in a while. Kyler Gordon, Montez Sweat, and Tyreek Stevenson moving, essentially.
Mm-hmm. And Jake Martin being back at practice, which I know is like further down the list of priorities of things to talk about.
But it does help.
But it does matter because this is somebody who, you know, early on in training camp, especially coming off of mini camp and OTAs, looked like somebody who was going to make the roster at the edge spot. Somebody who brought experience from his time in Indianapolis, who knows this defense, and then gets hurt, rolled up. And like, I think it was the first Friday of practice and we haven't seen him since. So for him to not be in the training room during practice and to be out on the field, Eric Washington said that, you know, he talked to him today, said he's feeling good. And that's a good sign. Now it's like with Montez Sweat, whatever this injury is that like has held him out since the end of July, like there's no concern, according to the defensive coordinator, that he will not be ready for week one. And I think you expect that. You're going to take it slow with your star Pro Bowl defensive end. But it's a good sign that he was doing something out there today and that Tyreek Stevenson and Kyler Gordon are getting back as well. Like I was in Buffalo early on Saturday morning and I had a chance and I was just kind of like getting in between TV hits and I was like, who's that on the field? It was Tyreek Stevenson and Kyler Gordon like first. This is early, before night, like right before 9 a.m. And the two of them were going through a pretty extensive rehab workout. And we saw some of that on a separate field during 7-on-7 today. And you hear what Matt Eberflus said last week, that Kyler's close to returning. They need to get him in the secondary. They need to get Tyreek Stevenson back out there. And that has provided a good opportunity for the Jalen Joneses, the Greg Stromans, the Josh Blackwells to get some reps with the starting defense when those guys have been out. But you need to start to see your secondary come together and play together in order to know just like where the unit's at going into, you know, the regular season. So hopefully that's a sign for their sake that they are ready to get those guys back in action sooner rather than later. But for a team that's had quite a few injuries during training camp, and we know this was an issue last year, to get these guys back, and maybe they'll play this weekend, maybe they won't. It's a good sign that things are heading in the right direction.
Yeah, I think the part that excites me about kind of seeing them come back, but also what we're coming off in the Buffalo game, I thought that you had a lot of guys who were able to step up and do some really good things in the Buffalo game that speaks to that depth that we were talking about, right? Even Dominique Robinson being able to get involved as far as a pass rusher, right? We got a chance to talk with him today and, you know, he kind of talked about, listen, this is a business. And I end up seeing the writing on the wall of, if you don't do this, you may not be here. This is the NFL. This is where the big boys come to play. And so, you know, seeing him be able to go out there and make a play, seeing how many of the backups, right? Baskerville got called out today by Eric Washington for in a praising way, basically
for
saying
the
pick six, you know, like seeing the backups being able to do that in a real game scenario speaks to the preparation that this team has been doing at training camp. But also, you know, you still want your best guys back in there because there is that raise of talent when you get them back out there. It's good to see them back on the field.
It gives you a chance to know, if you're the Bears, does this team still need to shore up any positions? Because they've been really quiet. I mean, they've signed a couple players here and there, like some very low on the radar sort of moves, but there hasn't been the big pass rusher signing that we thought going into training camp they might be interested in. There hasn't been any offensive line signings or any of like super significance to like move the needle of, okay, maybe this guy could compete for a starting job. Like right now, I think you're looking at this saying, barring injury, this is probably the group that they're going to end up rolling with on both sides. And of course, rosters are fluid and they can continue to change, and it'll probably change after the initial 53 is put out because of the waiver wire and where they are in the claim order. But they, like, I think right now you're seeing a group that is getting, using the experience of some of the guys who are further down the depth chart from the games, whether it was Austin Booker, who is getting a lot of praise right now, and rightfully so, 2.5 sacks, Daniel Hardy, the same thing in Buffalo. And even before that with the showing, you know, a good start from him in from the fifth round rookie in Canton during the Hall of Fame game. I think you look at the personnel that they have and you're wondering, is this group capable of fixing some of the pass rush issues that this team had a year ago? Would you be comfortable with them rolling with this group, starting defensive ends, Montez Sweat and DeMarcus Walker, and then rotating these other guys in as a rotation? Like, you really won't know until we see what that joint practice looks like and see if Joe Burrow is, you know, moving freely back there or whether the pass rush is able to affect him. But it'd be good to get Montez Sweat out for that practice to see how he's able to perform, because they'll be in pads that day. It was a light day today. But all in all, I think they're going to know some more. They'll have some more answers to questions with this roster in terms of the depth at those two positions specifically by the end of this week after they go through the joint practice with Cincinnati.
We're now 3 years into covering this front office. Do you think that Ryan Poles is more inclined to go with the young guys or maybe try to make a move? Because, like you said, seeing what Austin Booker has done, I think they didn't count him for a sack. I'm giving him his sack.
The one in Canton.
I don't know how he didn't get counted for a sack.
It's not on the stat sheet. I saw him hit the quarterback.
He hit the quarterback and landed on top of him. Like, that's a sack. So 3.5 sacks in the preseason overall. You see some good things from Hardy, but there are names out there that definitely could help this team defensively that maybe are a little disgruntled with their team. We saw Hassan Reddick yesterday, which is probably the most confusing situation. Like, the Jets were like, we're not going to pay you, dog. We just want to trade for you.
Until you get in for, and they won't negotiate with him until he gets into training camp. He has not reported to training camp. Have we heard the Bears seriously linked to him? No. And I know that, like, there are a lot of Bears fans having seen that news think, go out and get him. Go all in on this. That's such a messy situation. I don't think other teams are going to be chomping at the bit to, like, take the Jets mess off their hands for them. I see that as, like, a viable situation. Someone who got traded there because Philly wouldn't pay him, and now the Jets won't pay him. Like, you think somebody else is going to? Would it make this defense better? Maybe, but, like, there's a financial element that you cannot overlook. But, I mean, of course, there's, like, Matthew Judon, like, some names of guys who would appear to be impact players right away on defense for you that are still sitting out there. We haven't seen, like, any big trade, or, you know, you don't really see, like, huge trades happen outside of injury, like ones that are predicated off injury during training camp. But you haven't really seen a lot of movement by and large. And there's still several players out there from the wide receiver position to the defensive line who don't have new contracts or are unhappy with their contracts, who are now just kind of standing pat waiting to see if there's going to be a move made.
Yeah, the fact that the TV just cut off. What's up with that? Let's see if we can get that on. It is what it is. The fact that CeeDee Lamb, there it is. I don't know. That was random. That CeeDee Lamb can't get paid and the Dallas Cowboys just got revalued at $10 billion. I think that is the most interesting situation now in football to keep an eye on. But coming back here, do you feel like Ryan Poles is more inclined to say, the young guys are showing me something, let's roll with them? Or, you know, maybe I need to look outside the organization and try and add some pieces here.
Well, these are all his draft picks, right? Like, we're 3 years into this. It's not trying to make something work with somebody else's guys. I mean, there are a couple players like a Khalil Herbert, who was not his draft pick, who's getting quite a bit of run in these preseason games and certainly in practice. But I think about Austin Booker and Ryan Poles' first fifth-round draft pick in Dominique Robinson and what that's doing to the competition. I mean, Dominique Robinson was very self-aware in addressing his situation with this team and on the roster and where he feels like it's now or never right now. Like, it's put up or shut up. I have to carve out a spot for myself on this roster, take advantage of the opportunities that I'm given, which he did on Saturday against the Buffalo Bills. He started in place of Montez Sweat. It wasn't Austin Booker. Not that I expected it to be, but that was he had a stop on third and two. And I think he played it really well. those are the sorts of plays that you kind of look at as a coaching staff and say, okay, can this guy contribute on a situational basis, or are we better off, you know, giving somebody else those reps? And I think that he's proven so far that he's doing all right with the reps that he's given. I'm not going to like go out and like, you know, go all hyperbolic about this and think that he's like, you know, going to be a starter in this defense, but you can tell the pressure he feels just from having like a rookie right now who's performing really well. Who's kind of the, you know, the apple of the eye of these defensive coaches that, hey, Austin Booker's doing a really good job. That puts pressure on Dominique Robinson to figure out like, where do you fit in on this roster? And special teams is a role too, with his body type and what they're trying to experiment with on the kickoff return, to what he can do defensively with these substitutions. So there's, I guess to answer your question, does Ryan Poles want to just roll with his young guys? Or like, we haven't seen him show any interest. Like, we haven't heard anything reported about like, hey, they're close to signing this guy, or hey, they're in talks with this player. I mean, a couple months ago, we thought Yannick Ngakoue was going to be here by
It was a lock, yeah.
By like 4 weeks of training camp that he would be here. Now it's crickets. So last I checked, he's still represented by Drew Rosenhaus. I don't know if Drew was up there the day that they signed DJ Moore to the contract extension, saying, hey, make sure you give my guy a look. He's healthy. But it is something to keep an eye out on for when and where they might try to upgrade if they still feel they have to, because cuts are in, it's not next week, it's 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah.
2 weeks. And the roster can change after the initial 53. I promise you. It did last year, it did the year before. They can hit the waiver wire. They traded last year at the very last minute for Dan Feeney. And not that did much, but like that's when they were active, after kind of like a gap in between like training camp and like getting ready to like, what does your week one roster look like?
No, yeah. And I think what's like where Bears fans are looking to see more or expecting to see more, we're seeing guys step up that at a certain point, you just got to give them credit. And I mm-hmm. Domrob is one of them to me, because Domrob has not had a bad training camp. He's been in the backfield. He has gotten to the quarterback. Of course, you can't hit the quarterback. But I think Saturday was a little bit of validation, even to some of us who have seen it, because it's like, all right, yeah, does this speak more to the offensive line struggling, sure, or is Domrob actually getting better? I think most of us were on, well, it's all O-line struggling left and right. Of course, Domrob's in the backfield. I thought that Saturday was a big feather in the cap of like, oh, maybe he has found something. Maybe he has been able to accomplish something. With Austin Booker, we've seen a ton of it in camp, and we saw it in the Canton game a little bit as well. But even in the Canton game, you're going, it's versus twos and threes. When you see him go out there versus a Pro Bowl left tackle and is able to do the things that he was able to do, I think it has just a little bit more validation to say, you know, maybe we do have some pieces here that you can rely on heading into the season.
And the fact that they've gone this far into training camp and haven't added anybody else leads you to believe that they're comfortable rolling with this group, that they've seen enough to know, if we have to stick with this group, we'll be okay. Like, you know, of course there's been injuries and, you know, both sides, offensive line and defensive line, but they haven't made a subsequent move to try to remedy any of the holes, perceived holes, that they would have on the roster. So we'll see. I think it's going to be a good opportunity for them against Cincinnati this week, when you have a chance to have a bunch of unscouted looks and see how you're going to react to it, and who, you know, who can work off script and who can't, who can go against a defense. You know, if you're on the offensive line, and even Braxton Jones was talking about just like learning from the experience last year with the Indianapolis Colts when they had the 2-day crossover before the preseason game, about how to prepare for those things and prepare for stuff that you're not used to seeing from your own defense in practice. And it's the same thing for this defense going against that offense that has Joe Burrow and, you know, a decent offensive line in front of him.
I think, especially with this joint practice coming up, the importance that is going to be put on this, like you said, you see guys ramping up. Is that them trying to get guys back in here?
I think they've got to for this week. I feel like it's critically important. And of course, you want to make sure guys are like not at any further risk of injury, but this is, especially if they're not going to play in the game. And we haven't
heard
anything.
That was the question.
Yeah. Like, I mean, Eric Washington did his best to kind of sidestep that. And I don't know when we'll hear from Matt Eberflus. Maybe tomorrow, maybe Thursday.
Braxton's reaction to you. He's like, you're not getting me fined.
But I mean, it's like, you have to wonder, will this be like Matt Eberflus last year, like Anthony Richardson, if I'm correct on this, I'd have to go back. Did he not play in that preseason game?
He did play in the preseason game, I believe.
So he's a rookie. So maybe it's just like a different thing where it was for the Bears. I mean, they knew about Tevin Jenkins' injury before that came out, before we go back to practice and see he's not practicing. So they might have looked at that and said, hey, this is probably not the right situation to put our starters out there. Justin was going into year three. For Caleb Williams, I wonder how the joint practices and the work that he's going to get in there will affect, do we see him for a series? Do we see him for two series again? Do we see him at all?
Yeah.
Like, are they going to try to mirror what the Cincinnati Bengals are doing? I don't know if they will. I really don't.
I see what's tough about that to me, and me and Waddle were talking about this on the way in, is it's so different. I asked him, I said, you know, Was Ditka like talking to other coaches heading into preseason? Like, Mike Ditka wasn't helping anybody.
Sure.
Like, but the fact that we know that Matt Eberflus and those guys, that they pick up the phone and they're like, okay, what do you want to see? What do you want to have out there?
Joint practices, like get in work that, you know, unlike the preseason games, this is tape for us.
Yeah.
For these two teams that doesn't have to go anywhere else. Other people can't get a hold of. And it's a good thing to have certain things that you want to work on, whether it's red zone, whether it's, you know, situational stuff. They're down, like, the 2 minute period is going to be huge. We saw a lot of that last year. And it's like kind of seeing a pseudo scrimmage out there. I think, remember they went like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It was like a 20 minute scrimmage in Indianapolis. And I thought that's, you know, that stuff's beneficial to everybody getting a chance to like learn where your team is at going into the Bears' third preseason game, Cincinnati second.
Yeah. I think what's tough about it though is, right, you should put Caleb out there. You should put your starters out there, in my opinion, because he's figuring this out. He looked great in his first action. Can you stack weeks? I think that's important. But with the work relationship that that the head coaches now have, even in the preseason games, I think that when you get to the game, the fact that the Bengals aren't playing any of the ones, I doubt the Bears go out there and say, well, we're just going to go out there and curb stomp you because we're going to play our ones. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like we're going to acquiesce to whatever the Bengals do. And I don't think that that's the best route to take at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting, too, at Soldier Field. All the fans coming out for a game, and they're not going to see Caleb Williams. Not at all suggesting that Matt Eberflus should acquiesce to the fans.
Yeah,
but that'll
just
be interesting if it ends up, you know, when we find out what the plan is, you know, how they're going to handle that. I think you have to feel comfortable enough with the operation because there were several false starts today.
Yeah.
From the offense. You got to hope that the work that you get in that joint practice, which happens later in the day and against a different, you know, obviously.
Yeah, it is a 1 o'clock start for that one.
You've got to hope that the operation looks good enough to where you're comfortable saying, okay, if Caleb's not going to play, we feel good like picking it back up in 4 days to go to Kansas City to finish out the preseason. I don't know. I would think that they'd go the route that Indy went last year where, okay, Bears, if you're not going to play your starters, that's your prerogative. You've gotten the work in this joint practice, but they still needed to get Anthony Richardson reps.
Yes.
So maybe we'll see them go that route where they're now in the shoes that Indy was wearing last year.
And I think, you put Caleb Williams in a situation. I know that we have to bubble wrap these quarterbacks. I know that we have to protect everyone, right? It's not football. It's we're all just going to hug each other. But put him in a situation where the guy on the other side, if he doesn't get to Caleb Williams, he doesn't have a job next week.
Yeah.
This is
where you can test your depth.
Yes. This is the most important.
It will be regardless of whether, you know, if starters don't play against the Bengals, then that's when bringing it back to Dominique Robinson, bringing it back to Austin Booker, Daniel Hardy, that's a great opportunity for those guys to prove, hey, I can be in the rotation. Because right now, like, Eberflus is calling the defense. In practice, Eric Washington's calling the defense. In games, Eberflus is calling the defense. They also have to work in their substitution patterns and how they're rotating guys in and out for their pass rush, which we know is of critical importance. Who, you know, keep an eye in those situations on third downs, you know, in short yardage situations where you need to get a stop. Who are they relying on? Who are they calling on? Like, if you start seeing Austin Booker's name more and more, then you're probably thinking, okay, this guy's going to have a pretty significant role as a rookie. I already kind of feel like that.
Oh, for sure.
But it's, you know, does that stave off the need to go get anybody else? I don't know. We don't know that yet, but we'll see.
It's Austin Booker. I mean, he's done. There's a lot of guys, I think, but Austin Booker stands out the most. Guys who have just done a great job making things difficult. I think at the start of this, we all came in and we were like, Khalil Herbert's probably not going to be here by the end of this camp. I can't say that anymore.
No, he's had a really good training camp. Yeah. Although it's the question. I mean, I think I talked about it with Cap and J-Hood yesterday. Sylvie asked me about it the other day in the pregame. If Velus sticks at running back, like if they think, okay, this is like legitimately somebody that can contribute here, does that affect the running back numbers that you keep? I don't know if it does.
If Velus sticks at running back, it means that Ryan Poles just will not get rid of his draft picks. That's what that means to me. I did not see Velus Jones as a running back in that game. Good job. He can run outside zone and he can run end arounds like that. Mm-hmm. Yes, he scored a touchdown. Velus Jones is a better running back than Ian Wheeler. And I would be like, if Velus Jones, I'm sorry, he muffed another kickoff. I don't know how he was trying to catch that, but he muffs another kickoff.
At least he recovered it.
Yeah, you got some running back numbers. Yes, when you put the ball in his hand, he's athletic, but so are running backs. Like, I don't see a spot on Velus Jones on this team. Really. Like, I think
he's going to get cut by the end of the cut down day.
Somebody, and I know the Velus Jones fans are already losing their minds in the comments, but like, what has Velus done that someone who actually plays the position can't do? If you're talking about wide receiver, if you're talking about running back, if you're talking about kick returner, like he hasn't been the best at any of those things. What has he done to make this team?
Yeah, it's a fair question because we saw him in one preseason game with mixed results. I mean, he gets to the end zone first time in 2 years. That's great. It happens in a preseason game. I think not that you could really tell today, but like, remember Eberflus said that this was going to be something that they had for the first, that block, Buffalo. Yeah. And
they did run it back today. It's still happening.
It's like, but you didn't really get, I mean, they're not in pads, so it's hard to tell, like, it seems like they want to continue on with this experiment. I just wonder, like, does that affect any sort of roster numbers? Because that's something I can't really wrap my head around yet, thinking, okay, do they just keep him, like, keep the wide receiver numbers where you think for, like, spots 4, 5, and 6, one of those goes to Velus Jones.
One of those goes to Velus.
And you're not necessarily cutting from the running back room. I don't think you need to, necessarily.
Because we didn't continue to see Colin Johnson, I think that may be a case. If Colin Johnson,
I still think he was a long shot. Anyways,
100%.
From the first preseason.
100%. But I think, again, right, when you see Colin Johnson, you think, oh, he's a 6'5" wide receiver that's fast and can catch. Mm-hmm. I don't think that with Velus Jones. I think he's a 6-foot-tall athlete that if you get the ball in his hands, maybe he can do something really good. But I'm not seeing that on a consistent enough basis. And I'm definitely not seeing it at the running back position. I saw people out there who were like, he got 6 carries. He had a 5.7 average getting 6 carries and he scored a touchdown. And I was like, he's not getting 6 carries.
Yeah, no. And against the twos, it took him a while. It was in the third quarter before he got his first carry.
Yeah. And you know, maybe I'm nitpicking at this point, but he slips in the backfield. He drops the ball and is able to recover it on the kickoff. Like, I just, to me at this point, if you're keeping Velus Jones on this team, it's because you drafted him. Because there's been nothing we've seen in training camp.
They've put like an effort into trying to find a way to give him every opportunity.
Yes.
And I talked to him after the game just about that conversation. What was it like when they approached you about it? And he said it was early in camp and he's obviously open to it because he's got to find a way to make this team. But the Bears have given him a very long leash, which, again, that's somebody who you may not be playing your starters potentially in this preseason game. You better damn sure get a lot of run out of this guy to determine whether you can justify the move.
Yeah.
You know, having him play running back, but also justifying his spot on this roster.
I like the attempt. Listen, that's the one thing. And I have to give Flus and his staff.
They're being creative with it. I'll give them that.
Try it. See if it's going to work. Because it's the one thing, right? When Matt Nagy was here, I was like, put Cordarrelle Patterson in the backfield. Like, he does everything. But Cordarrelle Patterson was good at everything. He was good on kickoff return. He was good on kickoff defense. Sure. He was good as a gunner on the punt. Like, it made sense. Like, this dude might be able to play running back, but at least try it. I'll give the staff credit for that. I just don't see a way that he's he is a lock to make this team, but you never know. We'll see. As far as the joint practice, we got that coming up on Thursday. It may be raining, so it may not be public. That may suck.
I mean, and they've got to figure out too, they might have to move the timing around because they can't fit 180 guys.
I was trying to figure that out too.
You can't fit two teams. You can barely fit one team in there when you're at a 90-man roster. So we'll see.
So maybe we'll see the time moved around on that. We'll keep you guys updated on that as well. Hard Knocks tonight. So stay tapped in. We got a ton of stuff with Hard Knocks coming.
The post-game show for post-game it. I'll actually show. Get to join it this time.
Are you hopping on for the post-game this time?
I am. I'm pumped.
Oh,
although I hope, maybe I'm the only one. Like, I just really hope that they tap into some of the bigger storylines this time around. Like, I need to hear some, I need to see some Caleb Williams behind the scenes stuff, access that they, their cameras have that nobody else does. And I guess Keenan Allen teased it last week when he was doing an interview that they're going to start showing the Rome and Keenan relationship. So hopefully you see that.
Yeah. Show me more of the Nick Saban and Flus.
Yeah.
Like that's what I want to see. The behind the scenes. I saw the stuff on the field. I was there for that. No, that's petty because like, that might be me just like, I'm here, so I get to see him. But like, I saw that. I saw when he went over and talked to Flus. It's good to hear what he said, but I mean, show me the locker room stuff. Show me the at home, the Jonathan Owens stuff was great. Absolutely. I thought that was phenomenal. So stay tapped in with us for that. That's coming out today as well. I believe that it's live at 7. So, or no,
it's 8.
Hard Knocks drops at 7. So I believe that's live at 8. So make sure that you are here over on the YouTube side or on the Twitch side. As always, your boy Pat the Designer. For Courtney Cronin, y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. One love. Peace.